It all started when 9-year-old Dan Schlossberg was watching the World Series with his dad. Hanging on every play, his dad explained, changed his life. Dan has been a baseball fan ever since and has written 36 books about baseball. His first and latest are about the Atlanta Braves, when the Braves ruled the diamond, 14 flags over Atlanta. The call that Dan took on his last day of college set him on the path to become a sports writer. He took the job offered to be the New Jersey sports editor for the AP. After working in radio and newspapers for years, he was hired by Motoring Magazine, covering destinations and tours that they offered. His schedule remained grueling as he publishes 2 podcasts, 1 sports and 1 travel, every week. He travels, he does book signings, and covers events like the All-Star festivities in San Diego this summer. Dan will also be at the Baseball Hall of Fame signing books next fall. Find his schedule, books, past and present publications on his site, danschlossberg.net. Come along and join Elaine Masters for a conversation with Dan Schlossberg on the NPR podcast, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer.
I'm Elaine Masters, and I am sitting here in these beautiful San Diego Sophia Hotel. So you're going to hear a few noises from the lobby. I'm sitting in front of a table full of baseball-focused books. The newest book by Dan Schlossberg. He loves baseball. He has written more than 30 books about baseball and been a fan of the sport since 1957. I'm going to let you tell how that all came about. So welcome to San Diego.
Thanks, Lynn. Great to be on your show. 1957. I was watching the World Series with my father. I was 9 years old. On the old black and white Zenith in New Jersey, where I lived, he turned down the sound and would explain to me what was happening. And he was like E.F. Hutton. When they talk, everybody listens and pays attention.
Okay.
My father didn't speak very much, but he was explaining the nuances of baseball to me. And I took in every word and became a fan of the winning team that year, the Milwaukee Braves. They beat the Yankees, and all my friends rooted for the Yankees, so I figured I picked a better team. The New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers were going to California, so they're out of the picture. So from then on, I've been a fan of the Braves, even after they moved to Atlanta in 1966.
And ever since, you have been following the game. So tell us a little bit about your parallel careers that you've had, which is baseball writing, and also you've become a travel writer, too. When did that happen?
I worked for my newspapers in college, high school, all the amateur stuff, and always wanted to write baseball because I love baseball so much. And then I figured in college, I was also a political science major. Syracuse had a double major program. So I got a newspaper degree and a political science liberal arts degree and thought I would cover the White House. That was my original goal. But I was kind of discouraged with Richard Nixon being in the White House in 68. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to write baseball. I'm going to concentrate on that. I really love it. I covered the Syracuse team for the Daily Orange up there in school. And so after I graduated from college, I got an offer to be the AP sports editor for New Jersey, and I jumped at the chance. It was great.
Right out of college?
Right out of college. The very last day I was there, I got a call. I was all set to go back to my hometown newspaper where I'd been an intern for 3 summers. But, you know, sometimes you get a chance to be more than an intern.
And how did that work out for you, being a sports editor all of a sudden?
It was great. It was a lot of responsibility. And the bureau chief found out how fast I could write and type. And so he said, can you write radio scripts too? So every hour I had to write a newscast. We had 52 member radio stations. So every hour I was writing a newscast and covering sports.
Wow, what great training. And then you became a travel writer. When did that occur?
Became a travel writer because after the AP, the hours were like crazy, and I was working weekends and crazy shifts because the little guy in the totem pole, the new guy in town, gets the worst hours. And I was newly married then and decided I wanted more regular jobs. So I started looking around and was hired by Motor Club of America, which was like the AAA, and to be the editor of their tabloid newspaper, which had 3 regional editions, 125,000 circulation. They had a travel agency. And my boss wanted me to promote the travel agency by writing about destinations or cities and putting at the end, book through MCA Travel. So I got to go to press conferences and meet travel editors and started freelancing for magazines.
As I mentioned, you've written more than 30 books about baseball. How did you get into that whole publishing end of things?
I really enjoyed baseball. In fact, my first and most recent book are both about the Atlanta Braves. The very first one was called Hammer and Hank, the Henry Aaron Story. It was about Hank Aaron just before he broke Babe Ruth's home run record. That was a big deal. That was in 1974. And my most recent book is called When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta. It's about the 14 consecutive division titles they won from 1991 to 2005.
Now, you're a pretty fast writer. I've done 30 books. Is it a difficult process for you? It can't be. You keep going back to it unless you're a masochist.
It's something I like to do early in the morning and very late at night.
Okay.
During the day, there are too many interruptions. The dog has to get walked. The phone rings. All kinds of stuff goes on. But early in the morning is wonderful to work. Late at night is great. It's quiet. I can think. And I often wake up first thing in the morning and I have a whole script written out of my head or a whole chapter written out of my head. And I just write as fast as I can. I type 150 words a minute.
Okay.
So that helps.
Do you ever make a list before you go to bed so you're kind of dreaming about all this stuff? How does that get organized? And he's showing me a tablet with a list on it, and it's not even noon.
Right. I keep it with me because I remember things, and if I don't put them down, I might not remember them. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to get done everything done and be well organized. I feel so relieved after I can cross things off the list.
Yeah. So even though you're traveling, you keep this structure up?
Have to. It's the only way to do it because I'm doing so many things. At the moment, I'm doing two podcasts every Thursday night, a baseball one and a travel one. I'm the travel editor of the Maggie Linton Show on Sirius XM, and I did a report from San Diego on her show just the other day, which was great. And I'm travel editor of New Jersey Lifestyle Magazine, plus all the baseball stuff I do. I'm baseball editor of Latino Sports, and I'm working on another book for next year.
You are not slowing down at least. Are you going to retire ever?
Probably not, but it keeps me out of trouble off the street, so it's worth it.
I'm not so sure about that travel part. You are in San Diego for some very important events, all related to baseball.
I'm here for the All-Star festivities, which are great, and it's usually the same format as it's been for several years. There's something called Fan Fest, which is a week-long extravaganza for fans, mostly kids, interactive events. That's at the convention center. There's also an All-Star Futures game, which is played by future players, minor league stars, who will certainly be major league players within a year or two. And there are other events. There's a celebrity softball game where Jamie Foxx was here. And a whole bunch of other people. Jenny Finch, the Olympic softball star, who's married to a former major league pitcher, but she's the best pitcher in the family. So people like that are here, too. And it's a lot of fun. Plus, I see there are about 1,000 journalists here, and I know, I think, 900 of them at least.
You've been involved in this world for a while, so I'm sure that it all kind of works together. Can you share with us some particular time you met someone special in the baseball world or the travel world?
Many times, actually. I'll give you one of each. 1992, last game of the National League Championship Series, Pittsburgh Pirates at Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, which no longer exists. Pirates are winning the game 2-0, going to the bottom of the ninth inning, and I'm covering for UPI. And the UPI sports editor says to me, go cover the Braves clubhouse, win or lose. And I thought I'm going to be walking into a morgue because they're losing 2-0, and if they don't score in the bottom of the ninth inning, they're going home for the winter. They scored 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. And I was standing right outside the Braves clubhouse when this happened. And I went in, and there's only one person in the clubhouse. And it's Jane Fonda. So I said, okay, Jane, what are you doing here? She said, well, Ted is out in the field. Ted Turner, her husband. He's congratulating his players. He owned the team then. And she said, I didn't want to wind up at the bottom of the pile. So there was a big celebration at home plate. The winning run had just scored. It was a very close play. And so that's why she was waiting for Ted in the clubhouse. So that was my baseball one. But I'll give you a travel one, too. When I was in the Army Reserves, stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado, during the summer, right near the Broadmoor Hotel, Jack Benny was performing at the Broadmoor. And I was a fan, I'm still a fan of Jack Benny, and I loved him. And I suggested to my commanding officer, let me go and spend the day with Jack Benny and a microphone. So I took my tape recorder, and I went to the Broadmoor, and I spent the day with Jack Benny, with the PR person for the Broadmoor, and had a great, great time. I wrote 3 spots for the radio station, and he read them. The last spot, he mixed up the call letters, which were KRSN, and he said KSRN. And he finished, went through with it, and he said, I did that lousy, didn't I? And it was so funny, we used it just like that.
Oh, that's great. He was funny, like it or not.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He was hysterical. And very handsome, beautiful blue eyes. Oh. I mean, I normally don't look at other men, but you couldn't miss admiring him.
And I can't say I've ever heard anyone describe Jack Benny as handsome. How wonderful.
Well, up close, I was as close to him as I am to you right now, so that was pretty special for me as a fan.
So you're going to be in San Diego for the rest of this week, and then where do you head?
The Baseball Hall of Fame. I've been invited to sign books at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. They have an author series that runs for about 6 weeks every summer, one author per week, and I got invited to sign on July 20th. That's where I'm headed.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure you've been there many times.
Actually, yes. There is a company called Sports Travel and Tours, the official tour operator of the Baseball Hall of Fame. They hired me to be on a bus and escort people to the Hall of Fame induction. This is the third year in a row I'm doing that.
That sounds like so much fun. A lot of work, too.
More fun than work, but we actually stay in Albany, so I have an hour and a half to badger these people with baseball trivia.
Look out, you guys. It has been such a pleasure to speak with you. Now, this new book is available online and also at your website. Can you tell our audience how they can find it and find you?
If you go to Amazon.com, not only do you get a discount, but all you have to do is Google 14 Flags or put in the box search box on Amazon, 14 Flags. You'll find the book, even though the title is When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, colon 14 Flags Over Atlanta. If you put in 14 Flags, you'll get it.
And is this 14 spelled out or the number?
Spelled out.
Okay, 14 Flags spelled out on Amazon. You're going to find the book. And if you want to see more about Dan's amazing life, you can go to his website, which is danschlossberg.net. Could you spell that for us?
I can. D-A-N, last name of Schlossberg, is S-C-H-L-O-S-S, like the opposite of win, B-E-R-G, like the last 4 letters of iceberg, .net, as in tennis.
That makes a lot of sense, Mr. Sports. Thank you so much for taking time with us.
Thanks, Lane. Always great to see you and talk to you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's TV and film podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.